Welcome to the Victor Collins Asabre podcast. We pray the Holy Spirit will speak to you and stir you up as you listen to this anointed, transformative, and down-to-earth teaching by Bishop Collins. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Enjoy the message.
Father, thank you for the grace of God that has been made available to us from the time we believed you and we accepted you up to today. Thank you for the grace, that same grace that will lead us home. Thank you for the gathering of your people tonight. I pray you speak to our hearts, you affect our lives, and Lord, you don't allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father, for the new things that you are doing with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, and somebody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So we're looking at the mega church, and I'm saying that for God so loved the world, if you've been following, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, isn't it? But have everlasting life. And so God looked at how the world is, how the world is going, how the world is going to go. And then he decided that he is going to show the world love by affecting the world through his son, Jesus Christ. And that anybody who will believe in Jesus, he will gather them. And even though they will live on earth for a while, there will be a group of people that he himself will lead and guide, even though they live in the world. Just like Moses. He told Moses to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. God has sent Jesus to let us go. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. The things that our relatives, our colleagues are struggling with, we are not supposed to struggle in that way, because Jesus came to take us out of those things. That's exactly what happened today. So if you don't understand Christianity, you should go back to the Old Testament and look at how Moses delivered the Israelites. God, through Moses, delivered the Israelites from Egypt. They were slaves. They were slaves. They were the minority. They were the lower class. Everything was against them. Their pay, their salaries was low income. They were slaves to the Egyptians. And they suffered for years, hundreds of years. So it was a big relief when somebody came around and said that the God of your fathers has sent me to come and take you out of this country and take you to a place, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And so that is the same thing for us, that God has sent Jesus to take us out of suffering and botheration and suffering into a place where we must receive life and life abundantly. Is somebody listening to me tonight? That is why I'm saying that what many of you have been going through as Christians is not right. I condemn it in the name of Jesus. Because those issues, frustrations, and things have been, God has come to take us out of it. The tricky part of what I'm saying is that the embrace of the Word of God is what has kept us hanging in the middle. I mentioned that somebody will tell you they love you, you hold on to that word, and it changes your life. It changes your attitude. You store the person's number on your phone. You even store it as babe or bye. And then you call the person all the time. And then there's even a secret code to your WhatsApp chat. I mean, the hustling and the I love you actually changes your life and your attitude towards a particular person. And that is what makes you enter into the relationship and live your life. The mistake Christians do is that the word of God is not cherished like that. And that makes a difference between the true life and its abundance and the suffering that we still go through as Christians. There's nowhere in the Bible that God promised us problems.
He says that, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I would heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, it is by freedom that Christ has set you free. Do not entangle yourselves anymore in the yoke of slavery. He said that if you are in Christ, all things have passed, so all things have become new. And so, we're living this world, but we are not of this world. It's not only in weaponry and fight and warfare that we say the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Our lives are not based on the economy of Guyana. Whether there's oil, you see, it is when you follow the oil that you go off. Many Christians, in fact, many men of God around say, they say, you know what? Christians are not positioned to enjoy the wealth that God has given to Guyana. No, God has not given anything. It was there when he created the heavens and the earth. It is the God of the world who is bringing it out and making use of it and using it to deceive us and using it to make us become distracted. In the kingdom of God, oil doesn't make any difference. If oil was to make a difference in a Christian's life, the Bible will have oil. When you open it, it will be dripping. So you have to understand that the way that our life, our kingdom, our way of life is determined and established through the word of God is different. As the Bible says, you must renew your mind and not be conformed to this world. Because the world offers something else, and the word and the kingdom of God also offers something else. Have you ever gone into a land that flows with milk and honey before? And so, Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Then he told Peter that I'll build my church. It means that the people who accept me, the people who have promised eternal life and abundant life, I want to gather them. I want to gather them. I want to gather them. And when I gather them, it will be called the church. It will be called the church. It will be called the church. And so God is gathering. Jesus is gathering. And he started on the day of Pentecost, where his disciples and the people who were praying in the upper room, 120 people, that number increased to 3,000 overnight. Because he said that he was gathering his people. And I'm using that to tell you, for you to understand that this, our gathering here, it must increase. This place must be packed. Because that's what Jesus is doing. And I spoke about the advantages and the benefits, a few points. But today, I want you to understand the responsibility on you and me in the growth of the church. It's because I think sometimes we don't even know how to live the Christian life. The Bible, the preaching, the books are supposed to be something we hold on to and live by. So, for example, as a young man, I'm sure you probably know him. I spoke to him about, do not be unequally yoked. The proof of the person's understanding of what I said is what he went to do after my counseling with him. So I'm counseling you now. If your life will change, it will be because I said something and you held on to it. And as you went home, that's exactly what you went to do. Sherwin, when he was sharing his testimony, he said that, I was praying. Bishop said we should pray for 10 hours and I was praying. Do you get it? So the word that is spoken, that is the word that he holds on to. And he begins to live it. That is where the blessings and the power and the presence of God follows you. Because I don't want you to, and that's what has been happening, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart.
You come to church, you've been coming to church. When I touch you, you fall down right now. You roll on the floor. Two days later, you'll be rude. 2 days is too long. Just after service. So you ask yourself, what is really the problem? The problem is not the church. The problem is not the bishop. The problem is not God. The problem is not holding on to the form of sound words. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, he said that the things that thou hast heard of me, the same things commit it to what? Faithful people. It takes faithfulness to hold on to something that you are hearing. If you love the Lord, it's the most important thing you are doing. That is what you hold on to. If you love the Lord, you obey Him. So there shouldn't be anything that the Lord tells you that you will not obey, because that message, you receive the word into your heart. And just like WhatsApp message and sending pictures and calling and falling asleep on the phone, and just as you will walk in such a life because somebody says, I love you, it's the same way you walk in the word. So if you are not going to leave here tonight with one or two points that you are going to implement, it means you did not receive anything. It is those people who cause problems in the church. It is those people who leave the church after a while. It is those people who don't endure till the end. Because there's no way. Psalm 109, verse 9 also. He says, thy word have I hidden in my heart, so that I will not sin against thee. How would you not sin against God? Because there's a word that you have held onto your heart. So when you see sin, you say, nah, not me. A young man, how can he keep his way pure? By paying attention to the word of God. So I'm saying tonight that Jesus is gathering people who believe in him. And today, I want you to understand the responsibility you have towards the growth of the church. It is something you have to think about every day. It's something you have to put into practice. It is something that you need to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So he told Peter, I'm building my church. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of the tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this, let me go here. Second Chronicles chapter 5. Are you there? Verse 18. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I didn't see any special persons, any special name there.
Reconciliation means restoration. It means restoration. The Bible says that God has given to you and I the ministry of reconciliation. So if you never heard it, I'm telling you today. And what I'm telling you, you write it down and say, you know what? I didn't know that I have, since I became a Christian, I am a minister of reconciliation. This is not a bacenter leader in the church. This is not a pastor in the church. Everybody, including David Augustine, if you are saved, you have been given. The Bible says he reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And he has given to us. I didn't see anything that is some people. He has given to us. Who is the us? It's you. It's me. He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling. When you do reconcile, it means that you are bringing things back. You see, in accounting or in accounts, finance, there's something called reconciliation, which means that the money that is in your account, for example, if let's say you're going to do reconciliation, a business, the income, right, and the bank statements are reconciled with expenditure. You want to make sure that there's no thievery. Yeah, that it matches. So you always need a bank statement to do reconciliation, because the bank statement now will tell you exactly what is coming in and what is going out. Because people can change receipts. Sometimes you go to a place, even as a pastor, and they say, do you want a receipt or not? If you don't want a receipt, it will be less. If you want a receipt, it will be more. Even as a pastor, you get those things. Do you get it? Now, so you can change receipts. Or sometimes you go to Gafors and you call. It has happened to us several times. You call for the price of an item, and then they tell, it's 7,000 for one. So you calculate 7,000 by five. That's okay, that's 35. When you go, they apply a discount. Then instead of 35, it ends up with 32. They have 3,000 change. But the withdrawal slip, the bank statement says you took 35. So why don't I get a receipt of 35 just so that everything is okay? The matching. So the Bible says that God matched us with Jesus because we were not matching without Jesus. Then after he did that, he has given to each and every one of us the same ministry to match people with Christ. That is what the Bible is telling us. That is how God has made us. So it is no longer somebody who decides that I will match people with Christ or not. Everybody has been called into that. So I shouldn't even ask you whether you will bring a bus or not. I shouldn't ask you that. You should know. If you read the Bible, you understand. After how many years in the church, if you read the Bible, you understand. It's all bishop. You don't ask me such questions. I'm bringing 20 buses because the Bible says that I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We see some things in the Bible and we see some things we don't see at all. You go to the next verse, which is even more interesting. He says that, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God was reconciling the world to himself. It means that our target, our harvest, our field of reconciliation is the world. It means canal number two, West Bank Demerara. Now, can you imagine if all of us assiduously and diligently engage ourselves in the ministry God has given to us. Don't you think that this place will be full without us having to even say that we are expecting 500 people? Which tells me that indeed, what the Bible has told us, we don't receive it and we don't practice it. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He's bringing them close to, he's matching them with Christ, taking off the things that are not righteous. He's not counting the wrong things and the bad things they are doing, because he's matching them, he's reconciling them to Christ. And he says that, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Not only has he called us into the ministry of reconciliation, he has also committed unto us the word of reconciliation. See, I don't know what to say, really. That's what the Bible says. God has made you. So it's not just dancing in the church. As for dancing in the church, if people don't come together, you can't even dance. It's not about ushering. Because as for ushering, if there's nobody here, who are you going to point to sit somewhere? What you do during the service has nothing to do with what God really has made you. What you do in the service on Sunday morning is what we need you to do when all of us come together. Somebody has to do this, somebody has to do that. The main ministry you have is not ushering, it's not dancing, it's not singing songs, it's not worship songs. It's the ministry of reconciliation. Because I don't know where in the Bible you can show me. I read the Bible for a while, I have not seen it, that God called David Augustine to be an usher. Now, it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 20, verse 24. That now, we have now settled in singing stars. That is what I do. So, anything else doesn't matter. I want to come and sing. But there is no place in the scriptures that says that, and Jalana Evans shall be turned into a singing star. What is in the Bible is that he has given us a ministry to restore people back to Christ, to match people with Christ. And you know matching, right? You know matching? You know matching? How you match two people? Say, you? Take she. It's a nice girl. I call her to and say, you know what? From today, you should like each other. Okay? Get out of here now. Matching. And he has given also unto us the word of reconciliation. The next verse is even more interesting. He says, now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. Do you know who an ambassador is? Ganaraj, who operated the Phantom in the era 2004, 2005. He is in India as the ambassador of Guyana to India. You know what he does? If you go inside the embassy, you see Jagdeo's picture there. You see Ali's picture there. You see Philip's picture there. You see the Guyana flag there. When you go there, you see brochures and pamphlets about Guyana. You see the Guyana coat of arms, gold, all the things. He is in India promoting and championing the cause of Guyana. An ambassador is somebody who represents another cause, another nation in another somebody else's country. That's what you call an ambassador. And therefore, we as Christ ambassadors, we are representing heaven here on earth. And so we talk about Jesus, we talk about the kingdom of God, we talk about how heaven is. Anytime you invite me somewhere, I have to come with something on me showing that I belong to the kingdom of God. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. There's nothing that ambassadors do that they don't refer back to the nation or the country that put them there to represent them.
There are ambassadors in this country. U.S. ambassador. You have some other people, Canadian, I'm sure. High commissioners, consulates, all of that. You have people from the CARICOM. Even the CARICOM secretariat is here. Where you have people from other Caribbean countries working at the secretariat, representing the CARICOM. If they travel to any place, they represent the CARICOM region. They are ambassadors. The Bible says you and I are also now, through the ministry of reconciliation, through the word of reconciliation, we have become ambassadors of Christ. And for any ambassador, his work is the ministry to reconcile and the word of reconciliation. If you put an ambassador here, he'll talk about his country. When the news is reported, they won't say, oh, Mr. Calvin Kelvin came around to. They'll say, Mr. Calvin Kelvin, the ambassador of Guyana, the designation, they make sure that he is referred to as the person who he is. And people have misconceptions about Christianity and what we represent. You are supposed to be an ambassador at your workplace. You're supposed to be an ambassador in your school. You're supposed to be an ambassador in your neighborhood. You have the ministry of reconciliation and you have the word of reconciliation, which makes you an ambassador of Christ. Now that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So, if you meet somebody, your main purpose is, do you know God? I want to bring you in line with God. I have been appointed by God to match you with Him. And so, my conversations with you are very targeted, is very agendaric. And the agenda is, would you want to give your life to Christ? Because He loves you, and God sent Him into the world to die for you, and He loves you, and He wants you to be part of the people who are in the kingdom of God. Your mission here is not to talk about anything else. The words from your mouth is not just about anything. It is supposed to be words that will bring people in matching state with God. And therefore, that is why we are here together. And that's why I said, nobody from other branches should come. Because most of the time, the things we do, people misunderstand them. Because when you come from your branch here, it looks like you have accomplished something. Yeah. So Wednesday evening, they say we should come to Samaria. So, I went to Samaria. It's like, you have done something good. You don't need anybody here. And since they stopped coming, the atmosphere feels lighter. It feels different. I'm telling you. Yeah, it feels lighter. Because I don't have people who are coming here because they don't want to come, but you said they should come. Now, if we have been given the ministry of reconciliation and we have the word of reconciliation and now we are ambassadors for Christ, then I want to help you understand that one of the things that is very key in us matching people to Christ is the bus system. Only two people said amen. There's a difference between not knowing what you're supposed to do and then knowing what you're supposed to do. Yeah. If you don't know what to do, you beat about the bush. That's what the apostle said in, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, I don't do shadow boxing. I don't beat the air. He said, everybody who runs, they run to win a prize.
What are you serving God for?
Ask your neighbor.
What are you serving God for?
1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse something 27. You come back to 2 Corinthians.
Mr. Richard, what are you serving God for? Yeah. He said,
verse 26. Ah, 25.
And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things.
New Living Translation. Let's see what that one says. You know, King James is better.
All athletes are disciplined in their training. Are you disciplined in your Christianity?
Many people are like little babies with diapers. When you want to poop, you just poop. No reservations. You want to cuss up, you cuss up. You want to slap, you slap. You want to kick, you kick. You want to get vexed, you get vexed. There is no control. 15 years with the Lord and you are still wearing diapers.
Or at least are disciplined in their training. Why? They do it to win a prize that will fade away. It means that whatever you do as a Christian, you must have judgment in your mind. Why will somebody slap you on the right and you give them the left? Because you don't want Jesus to ask you one day, why did somebody slap you right and you also slap them on the right? That's not what my word said. And so you are disciplined in the faith because you don't want to do something that will affect your prize giving day. And the apostle is saying that they even people who do athletes, they do that to win prizes that are corruptible, prizes that will fade. I said, we are busing people, we are praying, we are doing outreach, we are giving, we are teaching people, we are raising people, we are loving people for a prize that is eternal. I hope you understand that this coming and going is for a prize. This coming and going, it's not for you to drive a car, you know. Your mind is not on the right prize. That's how people get distracted. Then, when you are running a race, it's the end of it that you are looking forward to. When you turn a Christian, it is the end of your life you are looking forward to, the day that you'll be carried into Abraham's bosom to meet your Savior. And so there's a long-term plan and dream ahead that nothing can come and take you off. Because you see, people who are taking off is because they don't realize where they're going to. Can you imagine 100 meters race, Olympic Games, and I say, on your mark, set, Lyles, is it Lyles? The guy, yeah. And these American guys. 100 meters. On your mark, said, go. They take off. They are running. And a bird flies past you. And then you stop and say, what happens to your race? That is what we do. We don't recognize that we are running to a point. And until you get to that point, you are not stopping. You will not give up running. I don't know if my message is sinking in. And so in building the church, we are bringing people, we are contributing because
as we do that, we are preparing towards a prize-giving day. It's not like somebody who is bothering you. It's somebody who wants to give you work. Somebody wants to make you waste your money or anything. It is because the person is trying to help you prepare for the day of your prize giving. And we have become like students of modern day students in a David Rose Secondary or Tocqueville Secondary who you want to help them pass maths. You give them assignment, they will not do it. When it's time to bring it, they will not bring it. You have to be on them. You have to do this. You have to do that before they can even come for some marks. It's that the people themselves, there's no vision to want to qualify or do anything. But we do it
for an eternal prize.
So he goes on to say in verse 26, he says, so I run with purpose. Are you coming to church with purpose? I'm not talking about purpose to get rich or to get money or to get a job or just socialization. Or your friend has come, so you just come to. He says, so I run with purpose in every step. If it's giving, it's purposeful. If it's outreach, it's purposeful. If it's cleaning the church, it's purposeful. I'm cleaning the church because there's a reward for me. I am gathering rewards in heaven. Because Jesus said, do not lay up for yourself treasures here on earth. So I run with purpose in every step. So tomorrow, Minister of Reconciliation, with the word of reconciliation, as an ambassador of Christ, what purpose is tomorrow for you in relation to your prize-giving day in heaven? What are you doing on a daily basis to ensure that when the prize-giving day comes, you know you are the winner? It's when you understand that whenever you are called upon to do anything for the sake of God, you are there. Why? Because your every step is purposeful. It even gets to the point where you don't wait to be called. If you are going for a race, do you wait for somebody to call you to come and do training?
You train yourself. My son,
he says,
Tofiakwa, to being slim like me. He wants to get muscles. He said, this thing that his father has, no muscles? He ain't wonder.
So he has started binding the strongholds of being fine. Yeah. You should come and see him. The designs of things to lift to get muscles. In his bedroom. Yeah. He is running with purpose.
But you have to tell him, have you done your assignment? You have to ask him about that one.
when it comes to, his mother tells me he knows all the muscles. Yeah, he will tell you, this is, I don't even know the muscle. He will tell you. He knows the type of food, the proteins and whatever to eat because it is, he's running with purpose.
You see him 10 p.m.
He loads his school bag with books.
I'm telling you,
every step is purposeful.
Yeah.
The apostle said, I am not shadow boxing. I ain't got time for waste. Every day is an opportunity to build an extra muscle. So if I give myself 1 year, I'll look like Brother Helmon. Helmon. Yeah. Yeah. And you don't be a fine man preacher no more. The King James, what does it say? Verse 26. 26. Kim James. I therefore so run. Not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. The verse 26, I think I saw a word there. That's very interesting. Verse 20, 25. He says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. There's something that said disqualified. Which version was that? You run through it. Yeah. He said, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Have you seen people who have been disqualified? Disqualified? Who have preached to others, but now they are disqualified? There was no discipline. There was no purpose. And I said it here, and I don't know how many of you listen to me. I said, even if your dream is to be like me, at least for the next 18 years, you have something to achieve. You will not backslide in the next 18 years. And because there's no purpose. And nobody runs around a stadium without the vision of ending the race at a point. You can't run forever. So even if you want to be Bishop Collins, now you have so many things. You have to be a missionary. You have to be there for 18 years. You have to have people, churches. You have to have branches. You have to have buildings. By the time you get to that point, maybe you'll even be dying. I mean, you'll be fighting and dying. But this thing where people come around and for 3, 4, 5 years they go off, it's because there's no purpose. JB, there's no purpose. That's why your head is down. Hallelujah. And so, in trying to be purposeful, I'm saying that, and I may not be able to go in because of time, but I'm saying that the bus system that I have introduced, let me tell you, it is one of the major breakthroughs to us fulfilling our ministry of reconciliation. It is. I can tell you that. I can tell you that. I can tell you that. There is no mega church. You can go and research it. There's no large gathering of people who have experience and who understand their ministry of reconciliation, that they gather Sunday morning, hundreds and thousands. There's no gathering of that magnitude that doesn't involve busing people. Why are we busing people? We are doing it purposefully. There's a prize. If you don't know, on the day you get to heaven, it will be prize given there. You see, there are two types of judgment. Officer, are you there? There are two kinds of judgment. There's a judgment for sinners. There's a judgment for Christians. Did you know that? You didn't know that? Okay. Now, when a Christian dies, he's born again, so there's no judgment. The judgment is you're born again, isn't it? So there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When a sinner dies, his judgment is hell. When a Christian is judged, his judgment is crowns or rewards. It is appointed unto man to die, and after that judgment, for a Christian, since you are born again already, there's no need now. God is going to say, is he born again?
It's the born again that actually makes you go to heaven. Once you are in heaven now, 1 Corinthians 3 applies. Every man's work will be tried.
1 Corinthians chapter 3.
So when we get to heaven, our judgment will be, how much of this did you do? Did you do it? Why didn't you do it? You're already in heaven. So that's not a big deal. What a big deal is, which seat are you going to be, closer to the throne or you'll be far away from the throne? Will you be at the low income place or the high income place? Will you be squatting in heaven or you have a mansion in heaven? That is the price, that is the reward that comes by what you do whilst you were here on earth as a Christian. And so when you have a pastor who pushes you to do things for the Lord, he's a good pastor. He is trying to get you. It's just like the students. Many students don't like teachers who give you a lot of homework. When you get bigger, they realize that, hey, that teacher was a very nice teacher. She really tried. She really tried with me. But when you're a child, you behave like a child. You think like a child. Your foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. You think this sir, anytime he doesn't come to class, I'm excited. There are some teachers, they love the students, they love teaching that even when it's break time, they don't want to close. It's those teachers we don't like. Because some break times, bells ring in some schools. Come on, break time. You look at the teacher, he's still writing the notes. He said, why doesn't this teacher man stop this? I'm hungry. And then the worst thing is when he asks any questions and the nerd in the class raises his hand. He has the thickest glasses, reading glasses. He says, sir, can you go over that topic again? He says, oh, Jesus. You've already shut off. You want to go and stretch your legs and go and have lunch. The nerd wants to grasp the thing before he goes away. He doesn't have to do revision ever because it has entered into his spirit. You want to go on break. When exams come, you say, he didn't teach me that. He didn't teach me that. In the same way, a pastor who keeps you busy, who keeps you focused, keeps you push you to work for the Lord, is the pastor who wants you to get a good price at the end of your Christian life. I pray we have pastors like that. We have Christians who are willing to be pushed, to be encouraged, to run with a purpose. The busing system is a way to bring the poor people who want to come to church, is a way to bring them. For people who can afford passage to come to Samaria, those people will benefit from the bus. I'm telling you, the busing system is one of our greatest chances in this season, in this era, to make sure that our ministry of reconciliation is working, to make sure that the mega church becomes a reality, to make sure that our target of 500 people is a reality. Coming Sunday is our swollen Sunday. Oh! May we see buses after buses after buses. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Wow. Just in case you have not achieved anything in your life, know that you have been appointed by God as a minister of reconciliation. When you are filling your departure card, they ask you profession, minister of reconciliation. Yeah. Let people write doctor, liar, whatever, bodybuilder. You write minister of reconciliation. I remember one day I entered Trinidad
and my landing card, I the profession side, I wrote priest. When I got to immigration, they said, oh, priest, Catholic or Anglican? I said, Catholic. Oh, yeah. I'm a Pentecostal priest. I'm the priest alone. So, wow, yeah. Are we not a royal priesthood? If only we believe the things that God has written about us, our lives will never be the same again. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for loving us and choosing us and giving us a ministry. Our ministry is not singing. Our ministry is not dancing. Our ministry is to match people up with you. You are a matchmaker. I pray, oh God, that this ministry will enter into the spirit of your people. This ministry will enter into the mind of your people. This call, this responsibility, this running, this race will go into the spirit of your people, that every day purposefully work on our ministry. May this coming Sunday be one of the greatest gatherings ever here in this place. May this Sunday be one of the greatest manifestations of our ministry of reconciliation. May buses appear. May buses come. 2 buses, 3 buses, 4 buses, hundreds of buses, oh God, right here as we endeavor to fulfill the ministry that, Lord, you've given to us. Let the grace be given to everyone. Those who cannot bring 1 bus, let the grace be given. Those who want to bring 2 buses, let grace be given. Want to bring 3 buses, let grace be given, oh God. Thank you that at the end of it all, the numbers that you gather here for your glory will all be exciting. We'll be all give you praise for that. Thank you, Father, for what you've spoken to us about today in Jesus' name. Somebody said amen. Hallelujah.
For booking and more information on the ministry of Victor Collins, please call us on 592-691-5301 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. God richly bless you.